Good afternoon. You're listening to Gambling with an Edge. Now here are your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guests today are Captain Jack Andrews and Rufus Peabody, two expert sports betting analysts who together are launching a new site called Unabated. As you will hear, this site is full of sports betting analytical tools. Captain Jack Andrews and Rufus Peabody, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here again with you.
Likewise, even though, unfortunately, this time I'm not there in person, but maybe soon.
Maybe soon. So, to start off, tell us about Unabated.
So, Unabated is a site that Rufus and I have created with two other founding partners. And the reason we wanted to create this site is there's a bit of a dearth of sports betting educational content out there. There's plenty of things. If you were to search for sports betting information, you find a lot of stuff. But not all of it is credible. Not all of it is even truthful. And most of it is meant to either funnel you to somebody who's selling you picks or funnel you to a sports book who is basically paying for that content to be created through affiliate marketing and other things. And we felt there wasn't an authentic voice in the industry, in the community for sports bettors to basically take their game to the next level. So in other words, everyone's very much interested in sports betting right now. It's the hot thing to do. I'm sure a lot of your audience is saying, oh, well, maybe I should pivot into sports betting since all of these new sports books have opened up in my state. We're now legal in 26 out of the 50 states now, so we've passed the tipping point. And so we created this site in hopes that maybe not to help people win. You know, there's nothing I can do that will help you just win. We can help you lose less. You can trim the house edge so you become a more sustainable sports bettor in your process, in your journey to becoming a winning sports bettor. So our site basically has three major tenets, and that is we have education. And in that education, we have articles and videos, much like I've created on YouTube in the past, but with a stronger platform beneath it so that I can do more things beyond what YouTube allowed me to do. And then we have trading tools, which are largely tools you can use to answer questions you might have about a sports betting market. For instance, if the line at your sports book is -3, but they also offer these alternate lines of -4.5, -5, well, what should the proper price of -4.5 or -5 be in, say, the NFL if the game is lined at -3? Well, we have the tools to kind of price out those derivative options for you. That's something that nobody else has tried to attempt to any various scale on the internet. And it's a pretty cool tool. And I think it's a tool that your listeners can get a lot of value from because it's a quantitative tool. Your listeners are very quantitative in their approach to everything. And whereas a lot of sports betting content is qualitative, in other words, it's just like, I think this team will win because they're better. Sports betting can also be done on a quantitative scale. And these are tools that will help you quantify a lot of things around the sports betting market. The third major tenet of our site is probably, well, definitely the best in class NFL season simulator that's out there in the market. And this is sort of a product that Rufus brought to the table. And it allows you to enter power ratings and then project out the season 10,000 times through simulation to find out what are the true odds based on your power ratings of a team winning the Super Bowl or winning the conference or even how many season wins they'll have. What does the distribution of season wins look like? Will they make the playoffs? Yes or no? And these are all wagers you can find in any sports book, not only preseason, but as the season goes on. People don't realize that a lot of those will they make the playoffs, yes or no wagers exist in sports books well into the season. And Rufus, do you want to talk a little bit about the simulator and kind of what goes into that?
Sure, I'd love to. So the simulator came, I guess, is the brainchild of something that I created with Cade Massey years ago for the Massey Peabody power ratings. So we would simulate the rest of the season out and use that to predict futures using our power ratings. And one thing we noticed was that these other analytical systems out there, and I don't want to name names, but we're very, very bad at understanding dynamic uncertainty, meaning teams' power rating changes over the course of the season. So just because you think that the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in football right now, maybe you have them as like 8 points better than an average team on a neutral field, that doesn't mean that they will still be 8 points better come week 15. And so if you simulate out the season, just assuming that a team's rating is static, that it doesn't change, you are going to dramatically understate the amount of uncertainty. And so you'll be overconfident in your projections. And so uncertainty comes from a few different sources. Injuries are one, and as well as just the fact that a team can, you know, there's uncertainty in our estimate of how good they are, especially right now. Like going into the season, we saw, you know, everybody thought that the Texans were going to be the worst team in the NFL, and they come out and boat race the Jaguars and win. They scored 37 points somehow. So maybe we were a little bit wrong on the Texans. I don't think, you know, I'm not saying they're a good team or anything, but we're one source is basically uncertainty in our estimates. And the other source largely is injuries. And quarterback is the most important position in all of professional sports. A quarterback injury, if you knew Mahomes got injured for the Chiefs, that will knock their power rating probably, according to the market, by maybe even close to double-digit points, certainly a touchdown. And so what our simulator capitalizes on is being able to price out this uncertainty appropriately. And so I use historical Massey Peabody ratings to build this, and we have – well, actually, the user has the ability to input a quarterback injury probability. So for each game, what is the probability that the quarterback sustains an injury that forces him to miss at least a game? And so by changing that number, you can dramatically change what that distribution – I shouldn't say dramatically, but change what the distribution of a team's outcomes looks like for the season. So basically, I think dynamic uncertainty is something that is not really – you can't fully – capture it without running simulations. You know, people ask, what distribution do you use to price out NFL season wins? And, you know, Stanford Wong talked about using the binomial distribution back in sharp sports betting back, what, that was 15 years ago, 20 years ago? Long time ago. Makes me feel old. But doing that does not capitalize on, like, there's no dynamic uncertainty there. You know, so that'll vastly overstate your confidence in how and it'll make the tails of the distribution of a team's wins much smaller. And so so basically this simulator enables you to price this out, and we give the user the ability to actually change a team's dynamic uncertainty. We have something called the rating updating factor, which allows you to say, you know, if you're more uncertain about a team, like maybe the Jaguars, you see that they have a new coach, Urban Meyer, coming from the college ranks. Maybe his strengths will translate to the NFL, or maybe he'll be like Steve Spurrier and Nick Saban, and it won't. You could say, I want my rating update factor to be more aggressive, meaning that their team's power, the Jaguars' power rating will change more in response to a simulated game. And so basically the core behind this, though, is good data science and allowing people to customize and use their own ratings and their own numbers. They don't have to trust my numbers. They don't have to trust Jack's numbers. They can use ESPN's FPI, Pro Football Focus, a market-based rating, and be able to quantify or their own ratings and quantify their opinion.
So I have a question. I want to jump in. Jack said that these bets are available throughout the season, right? Who are they going to make the playoffs? So will the simulator allow you to say a team is now 2-1, so simulate from here, as opposed to just changing the power ratings?
So yes. So we update the simulator each Tuesday to update it with what happened the previous week. So you're always simulating from that point forward, and there is less uncertainty running it in week 9 versus running it preseason, because we've already seen 8 other weeks of the season. So that's one of the reasons we would encourage people to come back to the simulator, update your numbers, and then see how the market has already changed in previous, and, you know, simulate going forward.
And one really cool thing that we do is we integrate your simulation results with an odd screen with futures prices at various books.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Now, we're taping this the Monday of the first weekend of football. So the Raiders still have Baltimore to play tonight, that we don't know what that is. But we saw the yesterday's games. And now, you mentioned Houston overperformed. There are teams like Green Bay Packers, which got creamed. And Jameis Winston had a quarterback rating higher than Aaron Rodgers by something like 94 points or something like that, which was most models didn't predict. So how much does one bad game affect season totals?
Well, you'll have to run the simulator to find out.
Aha.
But in terms of affecting the power rating, one game doesn't dramatically affect it, but it will impact it a lot more early in the season just because there is more uncertainty in terms of our forecast of a team. Meaning that, you know, after 15 weeks of games, we have a pretty good idea of who a team is. But, you know, week one, we've had an off-season of speculation and narratives, and this is three games of preseason. I don't even know. I don't follow the preseason games. But this is our first chance to really see what a team looks like for real when they're trying. Yes, it will move the needle, but I tend to think that the market tends to overreact, and there's generally pretty good opportunities week two to almost fade the overreaction.
So in general, betting for taking the Packers in week two would be a good bet because they did so badly in week one. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think in this particular case, because I'm not that high on the Packers relative to the market to begin with, but in general, yes.
Also, the Packers is one of those teams that's got a really big fan base, right? Whereas if it was a team that did not have such a big following, you may see that more, that effect.
Or a public team, yeah.
All right.
So I'm sorry, Bob, let me jump in because I wanted to go over something else Captain Jack said at the beginning. And that is, you said you're not, you can't teach people how to win. So, you know, the tired analogy, you're teaching people how to fish as opposed to giving them a fish. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but you had a big 3-hour launch party live on YouTube. And you gave a demonstration, actually, of how to find winning bets, which you were talking about derivatives. And, you know, if a team is supposed to be 3 and you go and you check the price at 4 and 5 and 6 and all the different numbers, and you found one, you know, pretty quickly that was out of whack. So you kind of – I mean, the tools are there, but ultimately, will that be automated as opposed to having to search those numbers one at a time to show you, oh, here's a number that has positive EV?
So, Richard, one of the things that I've always prided myself on as an advantage player is I don't like to spoon feed people things. I feel like everyone needs to kind of go through the process of learning something in order to kind of really learn it and do it. Too many people that are getting into advantage play often want the shortcut. They don't want to put in the hours of dealing cards to themselves on a kitchen table. They want to go right to the casino and win. And there's a process to all of this, and you have to kind of learn this process. So while on that live stream, I did demonstrate using the tools to find positive EV within markets based on inefficiencies in pricing derivatives, I also was showing everyone the process of doing it. We plan to have an odds screen soon on our site that'll not only display what the odds are in a market, but also kind of highlight the market makers within the sports betting industry, how they influence the lines. Sort of like that old Wayne Gretzky line, I don't skate to where the puck is, I skate to where the puck will be. That's how we want people to use our odds screen. We want them to skate to where the line will be. And in doing so, we're going to also hopefully display derivative pricing as well. So while it won't be as hunt and peck of going through all the different screens of a sports book to find the alternate pricing, you know, we'll hopefully display that for you. I have a bit of a moral opposition to just flashing it up on the screen. Go play this right now. Here's how much of an advantage it is. Bing, 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 bing. You know, that doesn't sit well with my whole ethos of how people should learn how to do the process of advantage play. So, you know, unless I get overruled, that probably won't be a part of this site, but we will at least kind of give you the map and you can figure out how to navigate the map on your own.
So tell us how much using unabated costs to the users, both now and down the road.
So right now, unabated is completely free. You go
I
to unabated.
That.
Yes. You go to unabated.
That's a little rich for my tastes.
You go to unabated.com and you can sign up for an account and you can use the site right away. This is the honest truth. We have not discussed how much the site will cost. Eventually, it will have a subscription model of some kind. But we haven't discussed because we don't know exactly how much this is worth to people. And we want to kind of get a sense for worth before we put a price tag on it. We know how much we think it's worth, but we really need to kind of see how people use the site. And, you know, it might down the line, we might say, okay, well, this part of the site, this is something everyone should have access to and it'll always be free. But this content, this is stuff that has a real value to it. And we need to put this behind the paywall. The site we built is not amateurish at all. In fact, we have a team of engineers and data scientists, fully qualified engineers and data scientists, that have built this site. And it's not cheap. And, you know, it costs us money every time you run a simulation because there's servers processing through 10,000 iterations of the NFL season. So, you know, at some point we're going to have to figure out a revenue stream. But for the time being, we feel like this product, we want to put it out there and get people to use it and get people to like it. And so it's completely free for the foreseeable future.
But the revenue stream, you do not want to be affiliate marketing to sports books.
Right. You know, Richard, that's something I've always been opposed to. You know, I probably should never say never, just in case something down the line where there is an affiliate marketer that we fully believe in and something like that. But for now, the current crop of what you see out there with affiliate marketing is sort of opposed to how I view sports betting content. Right now, all of that is just a big funnel. They're just trying to get you to sign up for whatever sports book because they're getting the affiliate money on the back end. And when everyone gets into the sports books, then we're going to start to see the online casinos start to propagate around the country. And we're going to see a lot of affiliate marketing towards that as well. So if you're already tired of all the commercials you're seeing for sports books, you're about to see a ton more.
Well, you could charge an extra $40 a month to do away with the commercials.
Which way to echo what Jack said, though. So about affiliate marketing, I don't think affiliate marketing just, you know, is inherently bad. But I think it's the lack of authenticity of it. You know, if there's something that you believe in and, you know, if there's something I believe in, I will recommend it to my friends without getting any reward for it. That's just being a good friend and being someone that likes sharing things. And so, you know, I do think if, you know, a book like Circa, which I have all the respect for, they don't do anything with affiliate marketing, but we enthusiastically recommend them to people. And so, I mean, I think in this industry, it is generally not in positive, but I think that if it is done authentically, it's not inherently negative. So,
okay. Now, in addition to the features already spoken about, there's some sports betting articles posted, some by Jack, one by Matthew Davidow, who, and one by somebody I just had never heard of, Robert Delafave, I don't know. Can we expect more of these articles, and or is this just for the opening?
No, we're definitely going to have both written content as well as video content going forward. My role within Unabated is as the head of content. And so a lot of an extension of what I was doing on YouTube in the last year of putting out content that is sports betting content that is largely educational, help people to kind of progress to become more advanced sports bettors. Now, I'll be honest with you. A lot of content these days has search engine optimization value. In other words, it'll get picked up by Google, and then people will be referred to the site based on what they're searching on Google. It'll rank within the Google search results. And written content has a far higher value than video content that's not on YouTube, which our video content will be hosted on our platform, so it won't be on YouTube. So for the time being, there's going to be a lot more written content than video content, just as we build up our SEO value. But we're not just creating this content in order to trigger search engines. We're creating this content because it's a viable part of the learning process, and we now have a platform to put it up there. So recently I created two articles on contests, NFL handicapping contests. There is the Pick'em contest, where you pick five games against the spread each week, sort of like the Westgate Super Contest. There's also a DraftKings Pick'em contest that's available in 10 states. Various states, various markets have Pick'em contests. And there's a strategy for that. There's a strategy that's not really talked about much. And so I put that into an article. Then there's the elimination type contest, such as Circus Survivor, which probably a good amount of your listeners that are in the Las Vegas area heard about this recently because it had a huge overlay. It ended up going off with almost a $2 million overlay into the contest, which that means that there's $2 million of free money that Derek Stevens was putting up, and it's going to go to one person or, you know, one group of people, whoever the last man standing in the contest is. Which is, you know, you just pick a winner each week, but you can't use that team more than once. So there's a strategy for that as well. And there's not a lot of articles written about that. So I wanted, you know, that's a good spot to pick up some SEO value as well as put out information that people might want to read about. And that's sort of been my thinking with going forward with the site. What are some things that people aren't talking about that also they need to know? And so that's where a lot of the content's going to aim going forward at the site.
And you mentioned you're in charge of content. What is Rufus in charge of? And what you have some partners. What do they do on this website?
Well, I'm in charge of data science, the numbers, and idea. I don't want to say I'm in charge of ideas. I think ideas are a group thing, but a lot of these ideas are sort of things from my, you know, my professional betting that have been useful to me.
We also have two other founding partners. Dan Fabrizio is one of our founding partners. Now, your listeners probably don't know who Dan is, but they know of his product work. Dan built Sports Insights, which was a great website where you could find all these factors about a game. You could put in what do teams do when the wind is over this mile per hour heading out? Or what is a team that is coming off of 3 days rest versus a team coming off 5 days rest? Things like that. And that was a fun website for a lot of people to find different angles for. And then he also co-founded another site called Fantasy Labs, which if we have any DFS listeners today, they're familiar with Fantasy Labs. It was probably the premier site for building out DFS information and, helping that to kind of analyze your lineups. And then they extended that over to a product they called Bet Labs. And all three of these were acquired by the Action Network. And so Dan's whole portfolio of companies was acquired by the Action Network. He didn't like the direction the Action Network was going. And so he left and he had a year non-compete. And then that year is up And so this was the product that he decided to put together. And he's the one that sort of brought Rufus and I back together. Rufus and I had had an idea for a nonprofit called the American Bettors Coalition, in which we were going to be the voice of the player. Everybody in this industry has a voice, right? The operators have a voice. The consumer non-gambling people have a voice. So, you know, no casinos. But nobody had the voice of the actual people that wanted to be sports bettors. And, you know, quite frankly, they still don't have a voice, but we have all these state legislatures that are passing these laws, and they hold these hearings, and these hearings are dominated by the leagues and by the operators and by the anti-casino people, but never by the guys that actually just want to bet. So we had this grand idea. Then the pandemic hit, and we also realized Rufus and I are professional gamblers. We're not business people. And you really need to have someone who has business acumen to kind of push projects forward. And Dan has that for us. And so while we've pivoted away from the American Bettors Coalition, it's still something that's near and dear to our hearts, but we've pivoted to this product, which is something that is filling a niche within the sports betting industry, and that is for, you know, authentic sports betting education content. And we have one more founding partner, Matt Snyder, who is a brilliant engineer. He's our chief engineer. And he's the one that's largely designed and built this website. It's a very bespoke website. It's not like you go onto it and you go, oh, well, this is just a WordPress site, a blog that somebody has created. No, this is a fully functional, self-operating ecosystem of a website. And that's going to be an advantage to us down the line of having something that's not like everything else that's out there. And so Matt has been our chief engineer and created all that.
So
Very good.
What are the things that are coming? We've talked about what's already there at the site, but there's a lot more that's coming, right?
Right. So I mentioned the odds screen that we're working on. And our other major product that I think Rufus could probably talk about here is directed more towards props. So I know a lot of the Gambling with an Edge listeners probably have approached sports betting or DFS betting, and they like player props. They like performance props. These are things that, you know, in Wong's book, his chapter on poison props probably made me $200,000-$300,000 for the first 5 or 6 years that it was out, because I just applied a Poisson distribution to prop betting and made a ton of money doing it. So Rufus, why don't you talk about what our ideas are on props going forward?
Yeah. Well, first off, we have a lot of ideas across a lot of different areas. But no, I'm excited about this prop tool. What Captain Jack said about the Poisson distribution for props, I've also made a lot of money off of that back in the day. But it's not the only distribution that matters. Negative binomial distribution is useful for things, counting props that have a little more variance. But something like, you know, number of rushing yards or number of receiving yards or number of passing yards for a quarterback, that's something that, sure, you can say, oh, this looks mostly normal or for maybe passing yards. But rushing and receiving yards, definitely not a normal distribution, and it's really hard to just intuitively say, you know, the mean is 62 yards, you know, the median should be 57, like, and, you know, the chances of this guy going over 100 yards should be X, right? And so you really need to be able to simulate to do that, and that's something I've done betting props myself. You know, you simulate each catch or each rush, and because you have a distribution for yardage for each rush or catch that is very much sort of truncated. Well, it's not truncated at zero, but it's, you know, you're not going to have a negative 20 yard pass play or anything like that. But you are going to have more shorter results, shorter gains, and an occasional really long gain that is going to sort of skew things. So, you've seen every year, it seems like there's somebody that has a 250 yard receiving game at some point, and maybe his average is only 75 or something like that yards per game. That is going to result in the mean and the median of his distribution being quite different, his distribution for yards per game. And so we're going to create a simulator to price out a receiver's yards per game and to be able to price out sort of alternate, whatever number the book offers based on the user's projection. So the user could say, I think this wide receiver is going to get 5.6 catches for 76 yards. That's my projection. Well, what's the true price for if a book offers under 83.5 receiving yards? So you'd be able to do that. And we would do that by looking at overall, what does that distribution look like, you know, on a per catch basis for wide receivers that, you know, and fit that based on this guy's average, whatever 76 to, I don't even remember what numbers I use, divided by 5.6 is. I think that'll be very useful because I think it's something that people don't intuitively grasp. I think most of your listeners know that in these cases, the median is going to be less than the mean, but by how much and how is that going to change depending on the type of player? So I'm excited for this.
Very good. We've been talking about Unabated. We're now going to have a brief commercial break. And then we're going to be talking to Captain Jack and Rufus about other sports things unrelated to Unabated specifically, although it wouldn't surprise me if Unabated sneaks in there somewhere. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning at least 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In September, every Sunday through Saturday, earn 1,200 points on slots, video reels, or video poker, and receive a South Point 400 commemorative bottle of City Lights Shine Moonshine. You keep your points. Players can earn up to 3 bottles per week, and you can choose from 6 flavors. On Sunday, September 26th, is the South Point 400 NASCAR Cup race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Tickets are half price at the casino box office if you use your points.
Hey guys, this is Colin from BlackjackApprenticeship.com, and if you're serious about card counting, I'd encourage you to check out the Blackjack Apprenticeship membership. It has the training tools you'll need to beat the game, like our comprehensive video course and our training suite, so you can learn each skill and virtually test yourself before ever stepping foot in a casino. It also includes the tools you'll need to succeed, like our pro betting software, casino database, results tracking software, and access to a community of like-minded advantage players to network with in our members forum and chat room software. You can find out more at blackjackapprenticeship.com.
VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Powerhouse Poker. This is a 10 coins per line game where you get dealt extra hands, some with multipliers, when you are dealt a paying combination. For example, if you're dealt 2 pair, you may be given hands and 4 of them have multipliers from 4x to 8x. How many extra hands you get and how big the multipliers are varies from game to game. The extra hand start from the same position and the same hold as you made. Let's say you're dealt 2 pair, queens and fives, in a game where it's correct to hold both pair, which is almost all games. Should you decide to hold only the queens, as many players incorrectly do, the extra hands will all start from holding the pair of queens. The games always return more than the 5-coin version of the same pay schedule, so no strategic variations are necessary. All right, we're back with Captain Jack and Rufus Peabody. Not long ago, Professor William Ziemba came on our show. He is an academic analyst of sports and an amateur bettor. Among many other topics, he gave a few anecdotes about his betting. I'd like the two of you to comment on one or both of these. First, in this year's Super Bowl, Rob Gronkowski caught the first 2 touchdown passes, resulting in the odds of Gronk winning the Super Bowl MVP changing dramatically. Ziemba figured that if Tampa Bay won, Tom Brady was going to win the MVP. So changing the odds on Gronk winning were just red herrings. So Ziemba bet the no on Gronk winning the price when the prices were so good, figuring he could always cover the bet later in the game when the Gronk's price went back down. I'm not sure I explained this correctly, but in general, what do you think of Ziemba's strategy?
Yeah, wait, let me stop you there. So it was the opposite, Bob. He bet it at plus 188, and I mean 188 to 1. Yeah, and then he did that hoping that Gronk would catch some passes and that the odds would drop and he could buy back, betting the no and lock in this arbitrage situation. So, and the reason I'm the one who had put this question in there, because after we recorded that show, I woke up that night and I went and I, with the thought, like, you can't make two negative EV bets and have a positive expectation. So now he's a math professor, so he has to know that. So what it seemed to me, what I wish I had asked him about, is to make the 188-1 bet, you have to, that has to be a positive EV bet for you to make it. So what he left out was, how do you find that as the positive EV bet?
Right. Yeah, I listened to that episode, Richard, and I had the same thought of he's letting the tail wag the dog a bit on this, because he's kind of saying this worked out because this. You know, I don't know what the true odds should have been on Gronkowski being named a Super Bowl MVP. That's really a tough one to quantify. He took a flyer on it, and then with the expectation that he might be able to buy back on it. And by the way, his buyback was on the Betfair exchange, which is not accessible for U.S. bettors anyway. And it's also it's a very sharp area to try to be finding value in the Betfair exchange. There's a lot of titans of this business that operate on that exchange, and I wouldn't recommend any of your listeners to want to play around there. But getting back to the original point, is this is something we see a lot from bettors who want that shortcut that I was mentioning. This is sort of their idea. Oh, hedging, that'll be my shortcut. I'll bet a long shot, and then when the odds drop, I'll be able to lay off of it. You know, I'm not saying all hedging is bad, but it gets people in this habit of being able to justify negative EV wagers with the possibility they might be able to have a positive EV middle or hedge opportunity down the line. And it's probably not the best way to go about operating as a sports bettor. You don't want to be just trying to find situations where you can hedge out, because as you said, Richard, when you're hedging, you're often making at least one side as a negative EV wager. So I would contend that when he bet on the no Gronk MVP in the Super Bowl on the exchange, he probably had a negative EV wager there. And so even if that Gronk MVP wager was positive, you know, he still should factor in that one of those sides was going to be negative, and that's not the optimal way to do it.
The hedge there, I think, is just a way to reduce variance, but you're eating the juice twice. So to me, it comes down to whether that first bet is positive EV. And if you anticipate hedging on it, though, you need to basically think that that bet is not going to be as positive expected value as you think, because you need to count. You need to account for the fact that you're going to want to be hedging out and paying the vig there.
Well, I also had another thought, because he's written a lot about Black Scholes, right? And when in Black Scholes, for pricing options, you know basically the variance, the expected variance of the option. So I was thinking maybe in these sports books, they don't price the variance into their price. Do you get where I'm going here? I mean, trying to look for a reason why, because he's a math professor who knows this stuff. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, you're saying the book, if the operator is going to overreact, then there's an opportunity there. That the in-game bet is actually plus EV because it's an overreaction.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Or because he mispriced it in the first place, not realizing how big the price could swing. But I don't know. As I say, I just I kept thinking, well, the guy has to know these things. All these things we're talking about, he must know about. So, anyway.
What's interesting is I actually read papers written by him when I did a literature review on all the sports betting discourse, academic sports betting discourse back in 2007 for an economics professor at Yale. So I was like, where do I know that name from? And it hit me.
All right. Now, Ziemba also told another story that he started out by saying, talking about the time that he and Professor Ed Thorpe went to the horse racing track together. And when you start a sentence like that, I'm going to listen. But what they had figured was that the odds to win the race were correctly determined by the bets made. But they used those odds to calculate what the price should be on the place and show bets. And when they found outliers to that, that's where they made their bet. Now, on that day, at least they won, although it's a very small sample size. What do you think of the process?
That part I definitely agree with, because that's just basically derivative pricing. And I would love to go to a horse track with Ed Thorpe. That would be Dr. Ed Thorpe. That would be pretty fascinating.
Or even the movies. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yes, I'd like to watch grass grow with Ed Thorpe. And that kind of gets back to what we're doing at Unabated is in our derivative pricing. Our derivative pricing is based off of the original pricing and then the multinomial regression that goes into the various other places that it could land. And just like a horse racing event, they took the win probability and then the regression analysis into the probability of that horse coming in second or third. I definitely agree with that. And I think that's a great way to approach it. I'm not sure if that's still an inefficiency these days.
It's no longer racing. Yeah. That's been flattened out.
Yeah. There's a lot of big money in horse racing right now that with supercomputers and all that. So
Rufus, when you were on our show, you told us that betting on professional golf was one of your specialties. Do you envision adding tools to analyze golf on Unabated?
That's a very good question. And
thank you.
I think it at some point probably, but right now it's not at the top of our list of priorities. I just don't think there's as much demand for it because where there are these derivative bets in other sports, there aren't nearly as many in golf. You can't just say because this golfer is 30-1 to win the tournament and this other golfer is 70-1 to win, well, then this golfer is going to be a -130 favorite over this other golfer in a tournament matchup. So it's you need to know the variance of each. You need to know the odds of making the cut. All those things. But in terms of the simulator, I mean, Data Golf, the website Data Golf actually already has a great simulator product. But I think the issue is the fact that most people, like, there isn't the same availability of golf power ratings out there. You know, most people don't have ratings for 156 golfers for a tournament. And if they do, they probably are already, simulating it themselves. I just think there really isn't as much demand. There's not a lot of buying points in golf matchup betting. There are places that offer, minus a half a stroke for round bets, minus 1.5 stroke for a tournament bet. So that's something I could add. But in general, that's fairly simple and easy to price. So
right now you have football, basketball, baseball, hockey, or no hockey?
Correct.
We have hockey. We also have college football, and we'll be adding college basketball by the time that season starts.
And we've a lot of people have asked for soccer, so maybe that's going to be next. We'll see.
Yeah.
This seems like more than a full-time job, and being a professional bettor is also a full-time job. So how are you managing that? Are you still out there betting?
Not well is the answer.
Yeah, same answer. Yeah, this has been not a great year for me professionally betting because I've put so much work into Unabated. It's taken up more time than the betting ever will. And this has been combined with 2020, with the pandemic affecting my betting, it's been two disappointing years personally for me. But hopefully this, you know, we can find balance going forward and I can get back. I know Rufus, his solution was to employ his brother, right, Rufus?
I did. I have my brother's trading for me and managing accounts and all sorts of things. But for me, I've narrowed my focus a lot. So I quit betting baseball. I decided not to do it because of the pandemic last year. And I realized I didn't miss it at all. Baseball is such a mental grind for me that you know, you have bets every single day. You can't escape it. And somehow I let baseball ups and downs get to me more than any other sport. And so I didn't bet it this year either. And I've basically narrowed my focus to golf and focused instead on getting more accounts, more places to bet, scaling that. And it's been actually a really good year financially for me, just because I've been able to bet bigger on my best sport. So that's kind of been my approach. But I need some work on the sort of work-life balance as well as the other work balance.
So, Captain Jack, a few months ago, you had an email exchange with Richard, and for which I was CC'd, and you said that a betting exchange would be opening up in New Jersey. Did that happen, or will it happen? And is this good or bad news to the players?
So there's actually two betting exchanges that are coming to New Jersey. They're both in the current backlog by the New Jersey DGE. There's actually like about five different sportsbook entities that'll be launching in New Jersey. They all want to launch, but the DGE is so backlogged in terms of approving everything that they haven't gotten through in time for the NFL season kickoff. So there's two, as I mentioned. The first one, and they're different from each other, so they can actually both exist. The first one is a company called Sport Trade, which is a company that is going to use large-scale market makers to more effectively price markets and with a lower VIG and more efficiency. So they're going to use some financial firms. You know, it's a great dichotomy in sports betting and finance is the sports bettors all think they could beat the world of finance, and the financial guys all think they can beat the world of sports betting. And they often kind of dip their toes into each other's water and they just get eaten alive. So I think that's probably what's going to happen. But there's a lot of financial firms that would like to be able to make markets in sports betting so that bettors could bet into them at a lower VIG. You know, in financial world, it's called the spread or called the straddle. And that's basically, you know, you sell something for one price, you buy it for another price, and that split in between is your margin where you collect your profits. And in the financial world, that margin is very small. And in the sports betting world, it's very large. And so that's why these financial guys think they can beat the sports betting world. They can, well, I can deal that with a 2% margin rather than the 4.5% margin that everyone's used to. So they're going to be opening up an exchange where they have markets that are going to be backed by financial people and or entities, and bettors will be able to bet into that at a discount. So that's called Sport Trade. That'll be hopefully opening up around probably the first of the year at this point is kind of their timetable. And then the other one is a company called Bet Profit, which is a UK entity. They were over in the UK first, but it's actually two American guys that founded it. And their idea is to offer betting with zero VIG, but they changed the spread price around a little bit to direct traffic. So in other words, for instance, the Thursday night game from last week, which was Tampa Bay -8.5. Well, they might offer Tampa Bay -8 and Dallas plus, or Tampa Bay -9 and Dallas +8. And you see there's a little bit of a spread there between the price. And as liquidity increases, they can lower that, you know, as to balance out the action. And then they charge a commission of, I think, like 2% or something like that on that market, I think, just to winners. And so effectively that becomes a lower VIG market for bettors as well. So the second part of your question, Bob, is this good for consumers? Yes, it is, because all competition is good for consumers. It raises the level of capitalism, and it also capitalism creates innovation, and innovation is also good for the consumer. It's more options for you to bet and markets to learn. Will these exchanges be successful? We don't know. because we have to abide by the Wire Act, which means it's only intrastate betting. These are both opening in New Jersey, and New Jersey has a lot of liquidity when it comes to sports betting. This September numbers that eventually come out next month, we're probably going to top $1 billion in wagering in just New Jersey in 1 month. So there is the thirst for betting in New Jersey. But will people do it with an exchange at a lower cost, or will they just continue to go to DraftKings and FanDuel and BetMGM on their apps, on their phone, the way they always have? We don't know. I'm hoping exchange betting helps. If nothing else, it will help the industry kind of reach price discovery faster. That is, reach the efficient market price faster.
Yeah, I think one of the problems with exchanges is there's a big learning curve to educate people what the numbers mean. You know, they're used to seeing, you know, -110, +7, -110, and to, mm-hmm. for them to learn how the exchange actually works, so they have a big education problem. But I agree, they're gonna get to the right number quicker, which will help. Hopefully help the bettors find value in other places.
Well, to comment on that, Richard, one thing that, you know, I've talked to Alex, I'm actually an advisor for one of the exchanges, Sportrade. What he's doing is actually pricing things in probabilities. So it's, you know, if something's even money, it's 50%, which the goal there is to attract not just bettors, but people that are intimidated by the nomenclature of sports betting. You know, your average person doesn't know what -30 +110 means, but they understand, well, what the 13 23rds, I'm not going to do the mental math right now, is, and they know what, you know, 47 point and change percent is. And so it's the way that it's the way political prediction markets like predict it work, and that's been quite successful. So I think, but to your point, I don't know what's stopping an exchange from creating an interface that makes it look like a sports book. I feel like maybe, I mean, that's, if someone builds that, then suddenly that isn't a problem.
Yeah, but actually, I think that you're right. That makes it much more clear. Like, it predicted, people understand 47 cents, 53 cents, it's a $1 contract. That's easy. It's when you look at Betfair and you see, you know, 147, 149 or whatever.
Oh, I agree. Betfair is, I'm like, you know, 1.11, 1.07. I don't think in decimal odds.
And I suspect once these exchanges come online, there will be articles on Unabated about how to use them effectively. That sounds like an area that's ripe for you guys. All right. At the end of our shows, we have a recommended section. And so, Richard, do you have anything to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, yeah. So I have to give a shout out to APFA for this recommendation. She was asking about 70s movies, particularly dystopian future movies, and it reminded me, I'm not a big dystopian future movie buff, but it reminded me of one of my favorite cult films. It's called A Boy and His Dog. It is based on a Harlan Ellison novel. For sci-fi fans, they may know who that is. And it is, I think, the very first movie Don Johnson ever did. And it is directed by a man named L.Q. Jones. And I just have to give a brief aside. One of the biggest fanboy moments I ever had was L.Q. Jones came into audition for me for a film. And if you just look at it, Google his picture, you'll see him. And it wasn't just that he had a scene in The Godfather. It was the fact that he had directed A Boy and His Dog. So anyway, that is my recommendation. It may be very hard to find because it was a small movie, low budget. But if you like dystopian future movies or you like Harlan Ellison, check out A Boy and His Dog.
Okay, my recommended is not going to be hard to find. And somewhat related to today's topic, it is a documentary sports movie that came out in 2017. It's called Icarus. I-C-A-R-U-S. And it's now available on Netflix. It deals with athletes doping and going undetected, like Lance Armstrong. The documentary includes lots of information from the former head of the Russian sports doping organization. It's a fascinating movie, even for non-sports fan, Icarus. Captain Jack, do you have anything for us?
I do, and it should be no stranger to your listeners. It is the current episodes of the Risk of Ruin podcast. They're titled Greetings from Las Vegas, Part 1 and 2. It features Rufus, as well as two other gamblers that he used to partner with, Zach and Mark. And this is really good. I mean, obviously, the Risk of Ruin podcast is great. It's just a great docuseries of advantage play. And John Reeder should be commended. He does a tremendous job. But this one is very interesting because it shows the evolution of an advantage player, a group of advantage players, as they transition from beating online casinos to beating sports betting markets and transitioning into Las Vegas. And there's just a lot in there that a lot of readers can or listeners can pick up on and sort of go, oh, you know what? That's how it's done. You scale it upward, and that's the best way to profit from things. So Risk of Ruin, Greetings from Las Vegas, Part 1 and 2.
Yes, and about that in specific, we're going to have Rufus and Captain Jack back next week. And there's a question to Rufus about that podcast. And his other two partners are, we're in negotiation with them for them being on Gambling with an Edge in the relatively near future, which is a coup for us. And so you may want to listen to that between now and then to give you more background as to these other guys who are coming up. So, Captain Jack Andrews, thank you. Rufus Peabody's, thank you. Richard, thank you as always. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.